Amen. What a great summer it has been. Now it's back to life, back to reality. It's back to schedule. It's back to routine. And God has been good to us this summer. And I enjoyed some July rest. I did not rest in July. I did not preach here in July, but literally preached all over the country and have just seen God do some great things. But I'm thankful for the opportunity, just a little creative break from what I do here throughout the year. And I'm just privileged, but I'm thankful. I'm grateful for the word that has kept us this summer. Anybody enjoy Jude last Sunday? My son in whom I am well pleased. Amen. I was preaching to a 9 and 11 service, and so 9 a.m. there is 10 a.m. here, and about the time I was in the pulpit, my phone was blowing up, literally. I mean, just, I thought, oh, Lord, something has happened. I'm trying to preach and have hundreds of people in the room that I'm trying to preach to, and I'm trying to make sure there's not an emergency. But it was just you celebrating just beautiful, and thank you for loving our young communicators. It wasn't just Jude. Jalen Fish was leading ministry moment last Sunday, and just fantastic. I love our young people being involved. If that's something that interests you, be bold enough to come and say, Pastor Darrell, put me on the program, somehow get me on this track so that I can learn and grow. I feel drawn to this or called to this, and I promise you that God will help all of us and will certainly help you. So it's back to work for me, and I'm excited. I'm excited about this series that we are beginning today. It has been in my spirit for some months now, and we've been preparing for the last several weeks, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm in no hurry. This will not be my typical four Sunday series. I'm going to be in this for a little longer because ultimately, I want to take us through the Ten Commandments. I want to revisit that and just reestablish, make sure that foundation is holding strong. And I know that we're going to answer questions like what are the Ten Commandments and what do they mean and how do we live them in 2025? And is it possible that we can maybe add some modern language to them so that they relate to who we are and what we are facing? And I understand the need for understanding and even for clarity around a subject like that. We've heard about them all of our lives. They've certainly been a part of the framework of our Christian faith, but they are about 3,000 years old. Maybe as many as 3,300 years ago they were written. And that fact alone would be one of the reasons people use to discount them. They will say things like, well, those are too old. Those are not for us today. Those are 3,300 years old. They cannot possibly relate to who we are today or how we are living our lives today. That was a different time. And others would say, well, Jesus fulfilled the law, so the Ten Commandments no longer apply. Well, just apply a little logic to that. Is it okay to murder someone now that Jesus is here? Of course not. Yes, there were hundreds of ceremonial laws that had to do with sacrifice and all of those things, and Jesus did fulfill all of that. And there are many, 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 many hundreds, in fact, of those laws that we are no longer having to keep because Jesus did fulfill those laws. But the Ten Commandments, written with the finger of God into tablets of stone, those represent something different. So I want to begin this series, build on blessing, because I believe that when we build our lives on the Word of God, when we build our lives on the truth of God's Word, you see, the Ten Commandments are about man's need for morality. Man needed framework, man needed structure, man needed boundaries, man needed guardrails so that he could build his life within a framework. Those Ten Commandments, they provide boundaries that lead to blessings. And when we build our lives on God's Word, when we build our lives on these commandments, I believe it commands the blessing in our lives. I want to build on blessing. I want my life to be built on the Word of God so that I can be blessed as the Lord wants us to be blessed. And I need boundaries that bless my life. So before we get to any of the 10, I'm not even going to get to the 10 in today's message. We'll get started there next Sunday. But before we get to any of the 10, I want to lay a foundation, because a stable structure needs a solid foundation. A stable theology needs a solid foundation. So where did these commandments come from? And why did they come? Let me just walk you through a little bit of history. God's people, who were known as the children of Israel, or if you've spent any time in Bible study or in the church, you've heard of the children of Israel. They were enslaved in Egypt for more than 400 years. It was generational bondage. It was mom and dad and grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-great-grandparents. This had gone on for generations. And all of a sudden, God sends Moses. That's a beautiful story, because Moses is born to a woman in a season where Pharaoh has said, I want all of the boys. This becomes a type of Jesus, because when Jesus was born, Herod was saying, I want all the boys 2 years and younger to be killed. And same situation with Pharaoh when Moses was being born. And so Moses' mother hides him in birth, and then fashions a little basket out of the bulrushes, and she places him carefully inside and sends him out into the river there, and God's providence and God's purpose and God's call leads baby Moses into the bathing pool of Pharaoh's daughter, and all of a sudden Pharaoh's daughter falls in love with this baby, and she gets her dad to make one exception. We're not going to kill this little boy. And Moses is raised in the courts of Pharaoh, educated in the best schools of Egypt, and God's purpose is on Moses' life. It's a powerful and amazing story. It was not an easy process, the children of Israel being delivered from their bondage. It was not an overnight process. Guess what? Your deliverance has not been easy. Your deliverance has not been an overnight process. I need to talk to everybody that's been coming to church for 2 weeks. I need to talk to people that have been coming to church for 6 weeks, and you are frustrated that not everything has changed in your life. Listen, it took you years and years and years to get into your mess. Give God some time to work you out of your mess. Let the Word build and transform and and renew your mind and do a work in your life. But Pastor, I've been coming for 6 weeks and I'm still struggling with that same addiction. Keep coming for six more weeks. Keep coming for six more years. I'm not saying the process is easy, and I'm certainly saying the process is not always instantaneous. Some healings and some miracles do not happen immediately. Sometimes there is a process of sanctification in our lives. I'm going to break one of my cardinal rules. If you don't mind, TJ, I need just a little more monitor up here, and it'll help me. But the process is not fast, and the process is not easy. It is a process. But after many challenges, after many plagues and much process, the people are finally out. The people are finally delivered out of Egypt, and their enemies have been destroyed. I think we play dumb too much. You want me to be completely honest? Let me ask you this way. Did you have to teach your child to share, or did it come automatically? How many times, this is something for you to think about this week. How many times have you told your child no since they were born? 100,000? 100,000 is probably just in the hallways of this church. 1,000,000? How many times? Why? Because they just don't get it. You are so hard-headed. Boy, if you don't. One of my pastor friends, I was preaching for the other day, said he just had his third, and his first, their first child made him want to have the second child, and the second child made them question whether or not they should have the third child. But that middle boy is, he's going to be a lot of fun. But he told him the other day, he said, Grant, if you don't shut your mouth, you're going to get whatever. And the little boy looked at him and went, some of y'all have those kids. And I love them. Stop whipping them. Stop grounding them. We love them. The fact is, we don't automatically know right from wrong. I mean, in theory, we should. That's why we have this moral clause, and that's why we have this conviction. It's why we feel some kind of way when we do certain things. We know it's not right. Our heart is smote. Our spirit is arrested. We know this is not right. We know this is not something we should be doing. So these 10, it's not just our response to God, but it's our response to one another also. Because these 10 commandments teach us how to love and how to serve and how to honor others. They reveal God's standard for justice and holiness and love toward both God and others. It's so important. So important, especially in 2025 world that has forgotten how to treat others. Because if you're old in this room, you've forgotten. If you're young, you were just never taught. We don't know how to treat others. We don't know how to get along with others. Oh, that's just out there in the world. No, baby, it's not. It's in the church too. So Jesus said it in Matthew 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Here's the third reason for the Ten Commandments. We're just laying a foundation. We'll talk about each individual one. But he gave us the Ten Commandments to reveal sin. To reveal sin. The Ten Commandments help us recognize sinful behavior. The Ten Commandments are like a mirror showing us where we fall short and where we need God's grace in our lives. We don't need to borrow someone else's mirror. Hey, what do you think about? Do you think what I'm doing is wrong? Hey, what do you think about this relationship? I mean, he's really cute, right? What do you think? The Bible says we're not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. And we're not wise to compare someone else's sin to our sin or our sin to someone else's. Because you're always, water seeks its own level. You're going to find someone who will tell you, you're good. You're good. What? Come on. That's old. That's old. And you can find a church in 25 that agrees with it. You can find a church in 25 that accepts it. You can find a church that will look the other way. But God said, hey, I'm calling you. And my word has not changed. Our mirror is God's word. What does God say? Not what did I see on Instagram, what did I read on Facebook, but what does the Bible say? Paul said in Romans 7:7, he said, what should we say about this? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. I wouldn't even know because I was born in sin. Sin comes natural to me. Sin is easy for me. Failing and struggling, that's easy. I wouldn't have even known. But now that I know, God's calling me to something better. God's calling me to something higher. Here's the fourth. I'm moving quickly. He gave us the Ten Commandments to guide a just society. Because these laws were also meant to order the community. They promoted justice, truth, family values, and fairness. This sense of order, this law they lived by, it set Israel apart as a holy nation, different from the surrounding pagan cultures. And I'll just note that because of their commitment, because of them keeping these laws, it made Israel a target of those who lived less. That may still be happening today, all political arguments aside. The New Testament would call it persecution. In 2025, we would call it haters, because I live this. People don't like me. Because I live this, I'm ostracized at work. Because I live God's law. You see, the devil is mad you live this. And I plan to keep beating this drum because I see the church too worldly in their response to others. The church is just as offended as the world when the Bible said, come out from among them and be separate. You've got to think differently. You've got to react differently. You have to respond differently. Here's number five. I'm closing. The reason he gave us the Ten Commandments is to point to our need for a Savior. I'm going to give you these commandments because I want you to recognize that you can't do this on your own. You need a Redeemer. You need a Savior. You need help. You need grace and you need mercy. Ten Commandments show us God's perfect standards. And guess what? Guess what? We're all, as far as I know, we're all doing good on the murder one. I mean, we may have some thoughts and some ideas every now and then. We're doing pretty good on that one. But some of those other ones, So I recognize, Lord, I'm human. I can't meet your standard. I can't meet, if this list of 10 is perfection, if that's what I'm striving for, I can't ever achieve. I've been at this, Lord, for a long time, serving you in your house, in your presence, calling on your name, worshiping, praying. And I still fail. I still fall. I still stumble. I can't do this on my own. And recognizing that paves the way for our need of grace and redemption, which is ultimately found in Jesus Christ. Because even good people aren't good enough. We need Jesus. Again, Paul said, Christ is the culmination. The New King James says, Christ is the end. All of this ends in Christ. Christ is the culmination, or the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. So when you look at the 10 and say, hey, I'm doing all right on that one. Iffy there. Doing good. I hadn't murdered anybody. I'm struggling. So I've got to have Jesus in my life. I've got to have his presence in my life. I need the Lord to help me, to guide me. Folks, boundaries aren't bad. They're not bad. Were there leaders? Have there been leaders, churches, pastors, that took rules too far? Yes. Seen it. Experienced it. This is not that. We don't police you at the Church Covington. We're not going to search your social media. Just going to keep pointing to Jesus every single Sunday. Hey, Jesus is the standard. Reach for him today. Do your best to walk with him today. Follow him today. Let him build your life. I don't know about you, but I want to build on blessing. I want to build a spiritual life, not on my ideals, not on my plans, but on the Word of God. Because these same people, the Bible says they wandered for 40 years. Years. 40 years. Fighting their biggest enemy, the enemy. But you know what I love? Of course, God gave them a plan, gave Moses a plan. Joshua would continue and carry the plan. They were a mobile people, a nomadic people. They were on a journey, on their way, promised land. It's a type of you and I. We're on our way. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Heaven is the goal. Canaan for them was the goal. They would make a little progress. Moving 1, 2, 3 million people. It was a process, but they would move those people. And whenever they would come to a new campsite, a new village, as it were, for the next few weeks, we're going to be on this hillside for the winter months. When they would arrive and say, all right, this is the land, this is where we're going to be, before they ever unpacked their own suitcase, they would establish the tabernacle. It was a tent. It was animal skins set on poles. But before they would situate their own home, they would make sure the house of God was established and erected, and it had its proper foundation. And then, after they put God's house in the center of that camp, every one of those families would start setting up their own tents, their own little houses, their own little front porches. And everyone's tent door, the flap of their tent, faced the tabernacle. Because they said, we want to orient our lives around the presence of God. We're building on blessing. Church is not something we do just, you know, when we run out of things to do. All right, I guess we'll go to church. We don't have anything else this weekend. I guess we'll go to church. But it's surprising how many people live their lives that way. The presence of God is optional. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. No. When you're building your life on a blessing, you're saying, you know what? God is my first priority. I'm not saying other stuff won't come up, but God is my first priority. I'm going to orientate my life around His presence, because that's how you build on blessing. Maybe you're here today and you're dealing with the enemy. Not the devil. Not the culture. You. Your thinking. Your mindset. Maybe your life is not pointed toward Him. Maybe when you come out the door in the morning, mentally, emotionally, maybe He is not the first thing you see. Maybe His presence is not the first thing you feel. Maybe a thought about Him is not the first thought that comes to mind. You can change directions today. Your life can be altered today. You can hit the reset button today. You can turn. How do I turn? It's what repentance is. Metanoia. It's a turn. It's a change of mind. It's a redirecting of my life. To baptize people here in just a moment, and you may be ready today to be baptized. It today may be your day. You can meet our team over in the lobby to my right. Any one of our ushers can guide you there if you want to be baptized today. But I want to lead someone in repentance today. Lord, change me. Lord, heal me. What do I say, Pastor Darrell? I don't even know. I'll help you. You can pray with me. You can say what I say. That can get you started, but I promise you, when you get in that mirror, when you begin to look full into His wonderful face, He'll help you. He'll show you. He'll guide you. But start here. Say, Jesus, I need You. Jesus, I am a mess without You. So today, I make the change. Today, I make the turn. Today, everything changes in my life. I repent for my sin. The ones I know and can call by name, those I don't even realize I'm living. Forgive me. Change me. Help me, Lord. I already know I cannot reach perfection. I need you, your mercy, your grace, your spirit. In Jesus' name, I accept you, Lord. Accept me, I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Can we give God praise today for? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I invite you, get back next Sunday if you can. I believe you can. It's going to be a great day. Invite someone, let someone know we're in the house of God and we're building on blessing. Maybe some old school Bible study involved, but I want to know this book, and I want to know why God calls us to live what he's called us to live. Anybody else feel that way today? Why don't you stand with me? Our team is going to sing, and I'm going to baptize some folks today, and I believe the Lord's going to help us. Amen. Sing it. In the mighty name.